just encourage you to come to camp, as he says. Fantastic time. So come to camp, but if you're newish to the Anchor, fantastic way of getting to know people. If you're oldish at the Anchor, fantastic way of getting to know people also, because there's lots of people who one doesn't know because people keep coming, and it's wonderful. So come to camp, fantastic speaker. Get those registrations in. See Simon for any details, or see myself for anything. Happy to talk to you about it. Hey, we're doing a series, this is the second one, on the attributes of God. Looking at just who God is, trying to grapple with the enormity of God, and kind of what are the implications on our lives as a result of what we learn about God. So that's kind of where we're heading for the next month or so, just building up a picture of who God is. So I wonder if you've ever pondered just how much God knows. If you were in a game show and one of the other contestants was God, this is hypothetical, how do you think you'd go? Gary Larson did a cartoon, just excuse the image of God being, you know, an old man with grey hair, because we want to dispel that as we do this. But I think he kind of captured it. There was God on 1,065, and the other contestant with his hands on the hips on zero. Or if, say, what's that game show before the news on TV1? The Chase. Imagine if God was a contestant in The Chase. Well, I think the producers would soon swap him and put him up the ramp. And who are the dudes that are up the top? Anyway, the people that are the brains would end up being the contestants, and I think God would end up being... Anyway, we digress a little bit. But, I was talking to a younger child a while back, and he kind of summed it up. And he said, when talking about how much God knows heaps. And I think that's pretty good. But maybe we need to add to that and say God knows more than heaps. There's a very knowledgeable guy in the Bible, Elihu. I might have mispronounced his name because I've said it so many different ways in recent times. He said to Job, you know, he was trying to get across to Job just who God was and what God knows. And he said this. He said, God is the one who is perfect in knowledge. I mean, there's no kind of room for movement there. Perfect in knowledge. Other translations or other ways, other maybe words or phrases could use instead of perfect is complete. Your translation might have complete knowledge. Well, again, that doesn't leave any room. It's complete. Another translation has whole, talks about God's knowledge as being whole, you know, nothing missing. And I like this one, without blemish. So it's perfect. And John, who maybe is along outside of Isaiah maybe and Moses, but was one of the people that came as close to seeing God as you possibly could. And this is what he said in 1 John 3:20. God knows everything. And everything means everything. And your translation might say God knows all things. And again, all means all. So we're kind of building up a picture here of just how much God knows. There was one of the psalmists in Psalm 47 was trying to get across just God's knowledge. And he said his understanding has no limit. He can kind of fit everything in his head, if we can use that term. There's no limit to what he can know. Doesn't get to a point where the brain's full, as it were. And there is a theological term for this. It's called omniscience. Something you can just drop into the conversation during the week. Somebody might ask you, "Oh, what did you do over the weekend?" Well, I was just trying to grapple with the omniscience of God and the ramifications on my life, or something. You could, but you know, throw it into the conversation. But omniscience comes from two words in Latin, and they mean, the first one means all, and the second one means knowledge. So that kind of, again, sums up the Bible's, sums up the biblical fact that God has perfect knowledge, that he knows everything, that his understanding has no limit. And how different that is from us. I think last week we discovered too more and more just how different God is from us. In my sixth form year, my first sixth form year, for those, that's year 12. And in my era of schooling, that was quite an important year. You were working towards UE, and you had preliminary exams. And if you did, around October or somewhere, if you did very well in those, then you got given UE, and you didn't have to sit the end of year exams, which was real cool. Well, my physics results came back from my physics exams. Anyone like to, if you know, don't say, but anyone like to hazard a guess at what I might have got? I'll only be semi-offended if you put it too low. 88. 51, if only. 12. Right, here we go. Oh, small problem. I forgot to put the decimal place in. And you got one mark for having your name in the top right hand. So in actual fact, my physics knowledge was 2.5%. Needless to say, I wasn't accredited with... But how different God's knowledge of physics is to us. I mean, I've got a good friend, Dr. Murray Early, who's a doctor of physics. Compared with our God's knowledge of physics, Murray knows nothing really about physics. And God knows everything not only about physics, but about any given subject you wish to kind of throw at him. So let's just look at that a bit further. He knows all things past and present. If you said you were going to build an Airbus, what's one of those big things? A380s? Yeah, if you decided, I'm going to build an Airbus A380 today, and you went to God and said, "Oh, can I have a parts list, thanks?" Well, God wouldn't say, "Well, actually, I could give you the parts list of the engine components, but it's kind of, that's about where I'm at the moment. On Tuesday, I'm going to look at the cockpit components, so I'll kind of have them by them. No, he'd be able to instantly tell you the parts list from the Airbus A380. And he could tell you instantly, because he hasn't accumulated his knowledge over time. There's not kind of a point where he gains knowledge. He's always had the knowledge. And he hasn't applied his super kind of intellect to studying. You know, I had to then sit down and apply my limited intellect to that physics exam. God hasn't had to do that. He's always known. And his perfect knowledge on that subject and anything else you want to throw at him. And if you asked him, say, how many grains of sand on all the beaches in the world 4 years ago to the second, he wouldn't scratch his head and say, well, I kind of did know that, but that was a wee while ago. And he tries to think. No, he'd be instantly able to tell you how many grains of sand were on all the beaches of the world 4 years ago to the second. And he'd be able to tell you at any other time in history as well that you choose to throw at him. And you could ask him, you know, how many buildings in the world at any given point of time, or the amount of water in a certain river at any point in time. He doesn't know any one subject better than any other subjects. He's got complete knowledge on all subjects. You know, that's our God. Just how kind of different he is to us. He's in another whole realm. So he knows all things past and all things present, but he also knows all things future. Isaiah, remember Isaiah? He was able to predict Jesus' death. And that was because our God informed him. And Jesus was able to predict his death because he was God. So Isaiah predicted Jesus' death because God informed him, and Jesus was able to predict his own death because he was God. And when you get to the book of Revelation, you know, from chapter 6-ish on through 19, they're just full of predictions of future events. Why? Because God has put them there. He knows all things past and present. So he knows past, present, and future. And he knows all the variables concerning things that haven't occurred. What do you mean by that, you might say? Well, in Matthew 11, he was able to say what those Old Testament cities of Tyre and Sidon, how they would have reacted if they had heard the good news about Jesus. I mean, the good news about Jesus didn't happen till kind of New Testament times, but he was saying he knew what the reaction to that Old Testament time, if they had heard the good news about it, what they would do. So he knows the outcomes of things that kind of haven't even happened, as it were. When I was 23-ish, and I mentioned I took a year out from work and went to a Bible school, and then decided to then go and be a student at Totara Springs Christian Camp. And at the end of that year, I was offered a job there. So I had a decision to make, either stay at the camp or come back to Wellington and take up my employment again. And I decided to come back to Wellington and take up my employment. But, you know, God knows what path my life would have taken had I decided to stay at Totara Springs. And he would have known what, well, I've started, so I better finish. He would have known if my wife Sue hadn't begged me to marry her, and I succumbed to that, Susan Nelson, what path my life would have taken. He knows all the variables in life. How kind of different that is to us. How different Almighty God is. You know, he's on a whole new level of it. And Almighty God knows us. Wow. Psalm 139, amazing verses, some of my favourites in the Bible. Starts off by saying, "You have, O Lord, you have searched me, you know me." Wow, isn't that amazing? You know me. That's Almighty God talking about us. And then it goes on, just talking about some incidental things he knows about it. You know when I sit and when I rise. But, O Lord, you have searched me. You know me. He knows us with that perfect, perfect knowledge. And what are some of the, I guess, the impacts for us about knowing how much God knows, and in particular, how much God knows us? I guess if you're not part of God's family, and you want to become part of God's family, you're not a Christian and you're wanting to become a Christian, but maybe there's something in your life that is hidden away that you're not proud of, and you really are wanting. Well, it's no barrier because God already knows. And regardless, offers forgiveness and acceptance and entrance into his family. Wow, it's one of the great things of knowing that God already knows. Maybe you're a Christian, and it's a great thing to know that how well God knows us. Maybe there's something in your past or present life that you're not proud of, that's hidden away. Well, again, he already knows about it. You know, nothing can come to light in your life and surprise him. No one can come to him and say, it just won't happen, because he already knows. And he's forgiven, and he's drawn you to him, to himself, regardless. Colossians 2:15, just a wee snippet of a verse, kind of talks about this. He's forgiven. No one can come and do anything. But bring it to him, you know, clear the air. So it's really handy for a Christian to know how well God knows us. And it's good to know about his knowledge of us when we think about the warnings that God gives in the Bibles as we live our lives. He's not just guessing on probable outcomes if we do something, if we do certain actions. He's not just guessing of the outcomes. He knows what the outcomes will be because he has that knowledge. So if we know how much God knows us and know his kind of excellent knowledge, then we shouldn't go down paths we shouldn't, because God knows what the outcomes of those paths will be in a factual kind of way. And it's good and comforting to know how well God knows us when we go into those dark times, or you know, when our life takes a bit of a detour, when life gets tough. It's good to know that we're not alone. You know, God knows. we can take refuge on. He knows what happens, and he knows what could have happened. And he knows the ultimate good too that can come from those circumstances that we find in. And maybe one more that it's good to know. It's good to know how well God knows us, because it acts as a bit of a handbrake on some of the actions we might take, or some of the places we might go, or the things we might say, knowing that one day we'll stand before him and give an account of our lives, because he knows. So maybe it's a bit of a handbrake. So as we head out the door with this knowledge, just let us really come to terms with our God has perfect knowledge. So let us live in awe of him and in the light of that knowledge. Let's not just forget how well God knows, how much God knows, but let it impact our lives and take on board some of those applications we've just been through at the end. Let's pray, and team can take over. Father God, we thank you again for the practical nature of the Bible. We thank you for just what it teaches us about you. And we acknowledge that you are the supreme being of the universe, that you are so different from us. You are the creator and we're your creatures. But may this, just the extra knowledge we have of you, really your Holy Spirit can take and use and just help us to live more for you. So again, we thank you for your Son too, and what he achieved on the cross for us. Amen.